Morning.
Hi.
So let me just rearrange myself a bit here. And we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 1, page 1173, or thereabouts in the Church Bibles, and 1173 in the Church Bibles. And I'm going to actually read the passage we looked at last week, starting at verse 1, but we're going to go on to verse 14 today. So chapter 1 and verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which is freely given to us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace, that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to put into effect, when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ, when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, let's pray, shall we, as we come to God's word. Father God, we come here this morning to praise you. And Father, we ask as we look further at your plan, your cosmic plan, help us to want to praise you all the more, with heart, body, mind and soul, with all that we are, because of who you are and how you are at work in the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, we're in Ephesians for the next number of weeks, and as we started Ephesians last week, Ephesians started off with a bit of a bang. Verse 3, please look with me at chapter 1 and verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Praise God for his blessings, for his heavenly blessings. And as we saw last week, these blessings were absolutely essential. Can't do without blessings that every human being, if we're going to live as God wants and to live under his part of his family, we need. But these blessings were just a start, because actually the destination is verse 10. Verse 10. To put into effect, when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. This is the plan for the cosmos. Did you notice this? All things. Heaven and earth united rightly under the Lord Jesus Christ. This is God's plan, and this is a huge plan. It's a massive plan. It's a plan that we need. And we need it because so many of the problems and pains that we face in our daily lives, whether it's individually or collectively as a society and as a world, so many of those problems arise out of the fact that we're not united under Christ. When we don't know and love Jesus as we should, what happens? Well, our relationship with him is broken, but because of that sin, our relationships with each other are broken, and things go wrong. Everything is broken to some extent. So here's God's plan to bring unity under Christ, and that is a huge plan, and we really need to hear this. Because in the everyday things of life, Our view of life so easily gets dominated by the normal things, don't they? Work, family, bills, struggles that we have, friends and family, problems on the global stage. And when these things dominate life, God's plan to unite everything under Jesus, well, it can so easily look irrelevant, feel impossible, even at times sound ridiculous. What our world wants us to believe. Well, this morning, God wants to break through that noise, that wall of noise that our world throws at us and says, I've got a plan. It's going to change everything. And here's the thing for this morning. I'm going to make it happen. God is going to make it happen. There will be a day when we're united to Jesus and we stop hurting each other. I mean, Putin will not be able to invade the Ukraine. A child will not be able to snatch a toy from another child. An adult won't even think of lying. This is God's cosmic plan which hits our own lives, and this is wonderful. And as we look at Ephesians over the coming weeks, this is the big thing. God describing this plan and how it's going to work out in our lives. But this morning, God is going to show us how he's going to unite everything under Jesus. That's why God has given us this letter in Ephesians. How he's going to unite everything to Jesus. And now the answer to the how is big and huge. And as we're going to see over the coming weeks, there's lots of different angles. God doesn't tell us every single detail, but he gives us plenty. But our verses today, which we're just going to look at verses 11 to 14, God's going to ground this plan in history from a long way past and then bring it forward to the present day. All in four verses. And instead of the doubt and confusion that we normally live our lives with, verse 3, we want to praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. End of verse 12, that we might to be the praise, might be for the praise of his glory. End of verse 14, to the praise of his glory. So our first point this morning, God's plan working out in history. And please look with me at verse 11. In him we were chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we who were the first to put our hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. Yes, here, God is taking us back to the beginning of time. Chosen, predestined. See, this plan that God has, it's got a long pedigree. You think about our government at the moment, it feels like they come up with one plan one week, and then the next week they come up with another plan, don't they? It's like on the back of a fag packet. Well, God's plan is not last minute or slapdash. It's a long-standing plan. It's a plan that's been there from the beginning of time. But that's not all, because I think the second half of verse 11 is mind-blowing. Let me just read verse 11 again. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined, according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. God's plan is interwoven and worked out in the midst of, well, in the midst of everything. Part of God's eternal governance of the universe. God is always at work. He's always fitting in with what he's doing. And that's huge, isn't it? It's a huge claim. But do you think, can God back that up? Well, as we look at verses 11 and 12, who does God primarily have in view here? Please look with me at verse 12. In order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be to the praise of his glory. So we've got we. But then compare that to verse 13. And you also were included in Christ. We've got a we and a you. So Paul, in verses 11 and 12, is primarily talking about Jewish Christians. And then verse 13, the focus then becomes more Gentile Christians. Now, we have to be careful not to split these two groups too strongly. You know, I mean, clearly in verse 4, if we go back to verses 3 and 4, all Christians are chosen and predestined. Doesn't matter whether Jew or Gentile. So as we look at back at verses 11, 12, and 13, 14, yes, they are split into two groups. But the things are true of both of them. But verses 11 and 12, talking about primarily Jewish Christians, we think God working out his plan in history, what are we supposed to be thinking of? Of Israel, of the history of God's people in light of the Old Testament. And when we see that, doesn't verse 11 ring true? As we think about God working in the people of Israel, as we get told in the Old Testament, according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. If you think about the Old Testament, it's story after story, example after example, of a sinful and rebellious people who are saying they love God and follow him, but keep on turning away from God. But what does God keep on doing? He keeps on bringing them back. Even in the midst of their sin, God is working out his plan to save the world, to bring everything to be, actually, to put it in terms of Isaiah chapter 9, to bring everybody to be sitting at the foot of the throne of who do we get told that first Christmas? Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Isn't that everybody united under Christ? And how is God going to unite all things under Christ? Well, God says, look at the mess of Israel and the way I worked out and my plan was being worked out step by step, even then. Can I not do it today as well? Of course he can. Or to borrow some words from a commentary I was reading this week. God's will may be disobeyed, but his ultimate purpose cannot be frustrated. For God overrules the disobedience of his creatures in such a way that it subserves his purpose. Only God can do that. To be so much at work in our world and in the midst of our lives. He has done it. And when we look at the history of Israel, we can see that, but we can see that in our own lives as well, can't we? Many Christians can look back at their own life and see God at work in there. Even in the midst of our sin, still bringing his plan about. So the question that we started with, God has a plan, how is he going to bring that about? Well, part of the answer is look back at the history of Israel. He's been bringing about his plan over century after century after century. He's still doing it today. And I hope this is reassuring to you. I hope you find it reassuring. Because God knows what he's doing. He's got a track record. Now, I don't think it fits very comfortably with us. Because us human beings, we're naturally so self-centered, self-absorbed, imprisoned with our own little ego. Often, we're supremely confident in our own abilities and understanding. And then, wham! It's like a 50-ton truck hitting us. It's not our plan that matters. It's God's plan. Worked out in God's history, in our history. And we might have to deal with that this morning, to repent. God, your plan is way bigger and better in every way than our own little plans. We might need to say to God, let your plan be my plan. And that's why Paul ends with verse 12 with words of praise. God, your plan being worked out in history is amazing. You're the plan maker. You're the plan doer. I praise you. Just two other quick things before we move on from this. Last week, we saw the tension, didn't we, between God choosing people and us believing. And that tension's there in verses 11 and 12, isn't it? We get told here, chosen, predestined. But at the same time, those Jewish Christians, when did they become Christians? It's when they hoped in Christ, believed. Now, I mean, this the reality that God chooses, but then at the same time we believe, is all over Scripture. We'll never fully understand it this side of heaven, but we should not reject it either. And secondly, just the final little observation here. Who makes this plan possible? It's back to Sunday school again, verse 11. In him. It's Jesus. And it can be so easy to fall into the trap of thinking that Jesus was only busy and interested in the world when he turned up that first Christmas and then grew up to be an adult in his ministry. And then perhaps even he's risen and he's been busy ever since. But that's not right, because Jesus has been busy since the beginning of time. working out God's plan. Busy for the world, busy for you and me. And just in case we missed that, it's there at the beginning of verse 13, isn't it? Ooh, is it? Oh, I messed up there. A different translation did. Anyway, sorry. Forget that. Anyway, it's still there, isn't it? Verse 11, in him. Anyway, second point this morning. God's plan worked out in the gospel. Oh, it is there in verse 13. It's just not at the beginning. And you were also included in Christ when you heard the message. So another translation, the ESV, starts, the in Christ is at the beginning of the verse. That's why I got a bit confused there. Anyway, second point, God's plan worked out in the gospel. Let me just read verse 13 again. And you were also included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, and you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. Now we see how God's plan is worked out as people hear the good news of Jesus. And the first thing I want to see is that the gospel is true. Now, it's pretty fundamental, that, isn't it? But people, people all the time have truly believed something, wholeheartedly believed something that isn't true. That's happened, whether it's false news or cults or other religions, or sometimes just some believing your spouse when they're lying to you. Sincere belief does not make it true belief. But God says the gospel is true, as he should. But alongside this reality speaks the truth of the gospel. I mean, is it just as in history as well. It's not just the fact that God says so. You might say we would expect God to say that. Well, if God's God, he will say that because he knows what he's talking about. But God grounds that in history, as we saw Les mentioned a couple of weeks ago, that guy who wrote that book, Who Moved the Stone. He was a skeptic. He wanted to prove the resurrection was false. He set out to do that, and actually he became a Christian as he looked at the evidence. The gospel is true. And as Christians, as we live for Jesus day by day, God confirms that, reconfirms that in our lives, doesn't he? So it's true, but it's also, verse 13, the means of salvation. There we saw a bit of that last week in verse 7, didn't we? In him we have redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of sins that Jesus won for us on the cross. See, God has a plan to unite everything under Christ, but for that to be possible, for the how of that plan, God had to win salvation for us and make sure forgiveness is offered. And Jesus has wonderfully already done that. But then, we don't stop there. How's this plan worked out? True gospel, the forgiving gospel, but then also then this gospel being spoken of so people can hear. In verse 13. This is part of how God's plan comes about. Christians talking about the true gospel, the true Jesus, whenever people are ready and willing to listen. And it just seems so ordinary, doesn't it? I mean, sometimes when we think, if God's going to be at work, we should expect fireworks, we should expect big bangs, but that's not the normal way of God going about his business. God is working out his plan as the gospel is shared by Christians speaking of Jesus. And as we look back in history, it is a miracle that the church even got going. Now, never mind the fact that it grew in the mid of intense persecution and has continued to grow for 2,000 years. How has that growth happened? It's by God working out his plan of Christians speaking of the gospel of salvation. It's not the spectacular. It's what we would consider everyday normal. So when our friends and family seem to push Jesus away, and I don't know about you, when that happens, I'm tempted to think God's plan isn't working. But then I sort of think, those Christians down the centuries when we've seen the church grow and grow and grow, do we think those Christians had the same fears and frustrations as well? Of course they did. And yet, even today, in our so-called secular and modern world we live in, there are millions and millions of Christians. God has been working out his plan. It's worked out in the gospel. And what do the hearers have to do? Verse 13, again. And you were also included in Christ when you heard the message of the truth, the gospel of salvation, when you believed. Believe and trust. Not trusting in fake news or fake faith, but trusting in truth. In the words of Ephesians, in Him, in Christ. And if you're with us this morning and you've not yet put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, may I encourage you to do so? As Jesus tells elsewhere, to start following Him, you've got to pick up your cross, you've got to start following Him. It won't always be easy following Jesus. It can be hard. But it is always worth it to knowingly and joyfully be saved and participating in God's cosmic plan for the universe. To put it bluntly, it's what we were made for. And for many of us, when we look to speak of Jesus to our family and friends and our neighbours, it can feel like such a weight, such a burden, can't it? A grind. Evangelism can be hard, but here's the thing, it's never wasted. It's at the heart of God's plan to unite everything under Christ. It's how He got hold of you. He'll do the same for others. And for some people, yes, they do have spectacular conversions, don't they? Might involve dreams or a healing miracle or something like that. But God is able and does do those things from time to time. But God's normal way of working out His plan in history looks very ordinary. People talking about Jesus, the true gospel, and people hearing and believing. That's part of God's cosmic plan. But then thirdly, we've also got God's plan guaranteed by the Holy Spirit. Verses 13 and 14 again. And you were also included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of His glory. Just before we get stuck into these verses properly, let's just note that we see here in these verses, in this first part of Ephesians, the triune God at work. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, all intimately involved in making God's plan happen. Now, time and time again, the spotlight, who is it firmly on? It's firmly on Jesus, isn't it? But let's never fall into the trap of thinking God the Father and God the Spirit, well, they're just bit players, or even worse, not necessary. God's plan only works when all three persons of the Trinity are at work. But back to verse 13. When someone believes in the true gospel, the Holy Spirit comes into their lives and puts God's stamp of approval on them, God's seal. I mean, it takes you to the imagery of the farmers, doesn't it? Where you've got the cow and the cow is branded. And they're owned, mark of ownership. Now, I think the image of a cow being branded throws up some negative connotations which aren't meant to be there. Who here has seen Toy Story? Classic film, even the youth are admitting to it. Wow. Well, and think of that. Think of Toy Story and Andy's toys. There's Woody and Buzz and a whole company of toys, isn't there? And each of Andy's toys had Andy written on them somewhere. Woody had it written on his foot. He was sealed, branded as one of Andy's toys. But here's the thing. Woody, it didn't hurt him. He wasn't embarrassed that he was sealed as Andy's toy. When Woody thought that actually he belonged to Andy, what did Woody think? Brilliant! I belong to Andy! Well, the Holy Spirit seals every true believer in their heart, saying, you belong to God. And for a Christian, that is a joy. The Holy Spirit coming and living within you, reassuring your soul that you are a child of the living God. But the Holy Spirit doesn't stop there, because the Holy Spirit also guarantees our future inheritance. Verse 14 again. Who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of His glory. Again, this is hugely personal. God the Father guarantees that Jesus is going to come back one day. But it's the Holy Spirit who comes into our lives, who guarantees to us individually that Jesus is coming back for you. That hope of being united under Christ is not just wishful thinking, but it is guaranteed, and you just know it. Because the Holy Spirit has guaranteed it just there. Now, a Christian doesn't feel that guarantee all the time. But a Christian will know of times when they just know inside that they belong to Jesus now and forever. Sealed and guaranteed. All part of the how of God's plan. How God is going to bring everything and unite everything under Christ. So this morning we've had God working out his plan in history. God's plan worked out in the gospel. God's plan guaranteed by the Holy Spirit. And you might be sat there thinking, what should we do with these things tomorrow in normal life? It's Bank Holiday Monday, so many of us won't be at work. But verse 14, end of verse 14. To the praise of his glory. God has a plan. He started to show how that plan has been worked out. And in response, we're to offer God praise. So remember these verses when we're on the bus. When you're thinking of what's the point of it, or what's the point of being here? Well, there is a point. God has a plan and a how. God has told you what it is. Praise him. You don't have to stand up on the bus and wave your hands around. You can just do it quietly in your heart. So remember these verses when that friend of yours shows no interest in the gospel. God has a plan. It does work. Praise him. So remember these verses when the world just seems so strong and powerful, and there's times when God just seems so weak and distant. Well, God has a plan. He's been doing the how throughout the centuries. He's continuing to do it now. He'll be doing it right there and then. Praise him. And as we lift our hearts to him and give him the praise he deserves, yes, it brings a smile to our Heavenly Father's face, but it'll bring a smile to your face as well. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you have come to save us, that you sent Jesus to come and save us, to redeem us, to bring us forgiveness, to bring us into your family, all those heavenly blessings, Father. But we thank you, Father, that you show us your purposes and how you work, how you include people in your cosmic plan. And we pray, Father, that your plan to unite everything under Jesus, we pray, Father, that that will grip our hearts all the more this coming week. And that you will reassure us that you are working it out, that your plan is marching forward, that Jesus is bringing more and more people into his kingdom, that Jesus will unite everything under his rule one day, mighty counselor, Prince of Peace. And as you reassure our hearts, Father, we ask, Lord, that we would lift our hearts in praise to you. May our praise of you not just be limited to those times when we've got the Bible open, or we're in church, or we're praying. Father, may there just be times throughout the day when we just recognize your plan at work and praise you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.